Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker. The protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Herd podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
This is The Best of The Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday live in Los Angeles. It's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. Nick Wright 1 hour from now, and once again, Jordan Schultz filling in for J-Mac, surfing in Hawaii with his family and having a great time. You broke a story yesterday. We'll get to that in Herdline News. But last night, I can't remember a night as a sportscaster that women, now we've seen the United States women's national team, or like Serena Williams, I've seen that a lot in my life, but women's basketball took center stage in America last night. Both games were great, completely delivered. You enjoy it?
I loved it, every minute of it. We talked about it earlier this morning, all the different stars. I was really impressed with Juju Watkins and Paige Beckers. Iowa LSU was something, but to see USC against UConn and Gino Auriemma mix things up, that I want to talk about as well. Both games were awesome, and that was appointment television in the women's game.
Yeah, gigantic ratings, I'm sure. So Kim Mulkey is the coach of LSU, and, you know, she says things, and she gets people worked up about the things she says. And I'm watching last night, and I'm thinking maybe people should get worked up for the way she coaches. Caitlin Clark's the one person you have to stop, and they didn't at all. 41 points, 12 assists. She scored or assisted on 67 of 94 Iowa points. I'm looking at field goal percentage. I'm looking at three-point percentage. And then it really hit me. People tried to stop MJ, too. And Messi. And Ronaldo. And people tried to beat Federer in his prime. And Serena. You don't. That's what you can't do. LSU. And they've got really good players, but they had to work for their points. You know, like even stars have to do in the NBA. But I can remember sitting on a couch years and years and years ago and watching the Suns and the Chicago Bulls NBA final. And I was sitting with a friend, and I said, Michael doesn't have the best jumper. Michael's not the strongest player. He's not the best ball handler. Why is he so much better at 6'6 than everybody else? It looks so much easier. And I feel that with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes isn't the biggest guy or the strongest guy or the fastest guy. Why does it look so easy for him? That's what superstars look like. Messi's not very big. He's not the straight line fastest player. Why is it so easy for him? Why does he humiliate other really good players? Maybe it's not about LSU's Kim Mulkey having an off night coaching. Maybe it's Caitlin Clark. I remember the Ravens losing this past year to Kansas City in the AFC Championship, and I thought, run the ball. That's bad coaching. That's bad coaching. Run the ball. That wasn't what I saw last night. Caitlin Clark beat LSU off the dribble every single time. But that's what Steph does in the NBA. People have been trying to stop Steph, and in his 7 to 8 year prime, it just didn't matter. Steph always got great shots. He had off nights. Caitlin doesn't have a lot. The game itself was fast, fun, and fluid. And women's college basketball doesn't look like this 25, 30 years ago. In the NBA in the 70s, Dr. J could do stuff that nobody could do today. He was that great, that acrobatic. But women's college basketball in the 70s, 80s wasn't this big, fast, physical. The passing wasn't as clever, and it's something to behold. That's why the ratings are moving up. It's just a better product. But it is largely driven by Caitlin Clark. And I'm sitting there watching it last night, and I'm like, she is, it's so effortless. It's like that's what Steph Curry looked like at Davidson. People knew he was good. They had film. They had tape. They tried to stop him. All this technology's not brand new. LSU is loaded. All sorts of depth and talent and size. I guess you can try trapping, but her head is up. She's a walking highlight. She's constantly in movement like Steph Curry. Everybody's got a solution on how to stop Patrick Mahomes. And nobody can. Ever. Kobe scored 60 on his last night. You don't think people for years devised traps and plans to stop Kobe? You can't stop all-time greats. They're just going to get theirs. And what Caitlin Clark does, she not only gets hers, but she gets everybody else involved. Not all superstars are unselfish. LeBron and Magic, very unselfish. Sometimes Kobe can be a little selfish. Caitlin Clark really isn't. But I'm watching last night, I'm thinking, come on, do a better job. Trap, get it out of her hands. She reads it before it happens. Very Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky saw things before they transpired. It's like Steve Jobs. He saw that you needed the iPhone before you had the iPhone. And I'm watching Caitlin Clark. Good luck trapping her. She can see it coming. She reads it quickly, like a great quarterback. She can see the zone. She knows where it's going. She can see it before you're doing it. And the reality is, I watched it and I thought, boy, I don't know. I mean, Gino Auriemma, who's had the dominant college women's basketball program for 20 years, he thinks she's the best player he's ever seen. Well, he had Maya Moore, who I thought, next to Cheryl Miller, was the best player I've ever seen. So when I watched her, I felt like this is like Steph in the prime. This is like Gretzky in the prime. You can try all the traps, try all the coaching. You know, Gonzaga's got good coaches. They couldn't stop Zach Edey. The great ones you can't stop. There's nothing you can do. And the bigger the game, the better Caitlin Clark is. And here was Kim Mulkey, almost exasperated after the loss.
There's not a whole lot of strategy. You got to guard her. Nobody else seems to be able to guard her. We didn't even guard her last year when we beat them. She's just a generational player, and she just makes everybody around her better. That's what the great ones do. What did I say to her? I said, I sure am glad you leaving. I said, girl, you something else. Never seen anything like it.
Everybody's got a solution. Here's how you coach against Caitlin Clark. Here's how you... These coaches know what they're doing. I mean, hasn't Kim Mulkey won national championships at two different programs? When Gino Auriemma's like, yeah, that's the best player I've ever seen. Okay, look, he has the best players in the WNBA. If he says it, I believe it. All right, Sean Payton, one of the reasons I always like Sean Payton, he was a guest on my show a couple years ago every Monday. And the reason I liked him, he wasn't a cliche machine. He was honest. What do you want your coach to be? A straight shooter or a BSer? And Sean Payton has been very critical through the years of players. Not all the time. He loved Drew Brees. But Russell Wilson wore him out. And he was saying this recently about Russell Wilson. I know. He's critical. Yeah, let it go. But I thought he said something that we can all kind of learn from about Russell Wilson.
Well, I think this, number one, we can't take as many sacks. If you looked at any of the data relative to what it does for your drives, and I think that was a big thing that hurt us a year ago.
Yes. Russell gets sacked a lot. The downside to small quarterbacks really isn't the injuries. By the way, Trevor Lawrence is 6'6", got hurt last year. Justin Herbert, 6'5 and a half, he got hurt. Carson Wentz, Matt Stafford, big dudes get hurt. All quarterbacks get hurt. The number one issue is small quarterbacks struggle to see over 6'6 and a half offensive linemen. Tua in Miami has admitted, I can't see everything. Russell Wilson's sack data illuminates maybe why he threw the deep ball so much. He threw it over the defense because he couldn't often read the middle of the field. He's on pace, is Russell, to be the most sacked quarterback in league history. In fact, since he entered the league, he's been sacked 112 times more than the next quarterback, and Denver did not have a bad offensive line. It's the first thing Sean Payton fixed. PFF had him at seventh. When he was a Seahawk, he was the most sacked quarterback in the league. Last 2 years in Denver, he's been the most sacked quarterback in the league. And ask any fan, nothing kills a drive like a holding penalty or a sack. In fact, last season, the least sacked quarterback, and by the way, he hasn't had a great O-line, 6'6", Josh Allen. Over the last 5 years, here's three quarterbacks who get sacked as much or more than anybody. Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, and Baker Mayfield. Steeler fans, I think you have upgraded at quarterback, but get ready for some 3rd-and-13s and 3rd-and-15s. That's what drove Sean Payton crazy. It's not the injuries. Russell hasn't been hurt that much. He really hasn't. It's not the injuries. Average offensive lineman, people are getting bigger, 6'7". Best tackle in this draft, 6'7 and a half. Russell's 5'11 and a half. Tua admits it. Kyler said it. You got to move around. You got to create lanes. Sean Payton's not a cliche machine. Thank God. And Steeler fans, you'll be better at quarterback, but you'll also at various times next year be frustrated with your quarterback. All right, all sorts of stuff going on. A great night of women's college basketball last night. Sat down for several hours, watched it, and enjoyed all of it. There's a bunch of stuff going on in sports right now. Nick Wright in 45 minutes from now. Dodgers won again. And are they becoming the Yankees and the Braves of the 90s? We'll talk about that. Plus, there is a trend that is freaking people out, fans out, about the NFL. And I'm here to tell you, it's a good thing. We're all going to be okay.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hi, it's The Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball. For eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers. And with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime. Best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by a smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. They also offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. And stay cool in a short-sleeve, moisture-wicking pearl snap, or make your own shade with one of their classic straw hats, new in both men's and women's styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas's ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last for decades. Visit Tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and don't go gently, y'all.
Little controversy, but the Dodgers, through six games, are doing. They won again last night over the Giants. They won again, and what they're doing offensively, it's through the roof. They lead baseball in home runs and RBIs and hits and total bases. The Dodgers' batting average is .295. A majority of baseball will hit in the .250s and low .260s. Their average is almost an all-star. The Dodgers are interesting. People grumble around Los Angeles about Dave Roberts, the manager, but let me put some context into it. They've won the National League West 10 of 11 years, and the year they didn't win, they won 106 games. They have some advantages. Our weather is perfect in the summer in Los Angeles, and players know it. You don't have that searing humidity, Midwest, Northeast humidity, Southern humidity. It's a cash machine. They draw over 7,000 to 8,000 more per game than everybody else. Very innovative thinking. One of the sharpest GMs in the sport who came from Tampa. They've already landed Shohei Ohtani. Now they have Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and they're supposed to land next year's number one Japanese star. So this is an organization that's on a roll. They have replaced the Yankees as the revenue machine and the number one go-to spot. They turned down opportunities to sign great players like Manny Machado long-term. Zach Greinke long-term. They'll pass. They get who they want. The only issue, though, is in 12 years of dominating, they have one World Series title. So where they're the Yankees financially, they're a bit the Atlanta Braves under Bobby Cox, who had three Hall of Famers in his rotation. They were excellent under the guidance of John Schuerholz for seemingly ever and got only one ring. But here is where I would defend the Braves and the Dodgers. This is not football. It's not the NBA. Pitchers regularly blow out an arm. Did Tom Brady ever do that? Shaq? MJ? Messi? Not really. You go into prolonged slumps in baseball. I don't remember Michael Jordan or Tim Duncan going into long shooting slumps, or Tom Brady having a seven-game stretch, or Mahomes where they just couldn't throw the ball effectively. Baseball's got a randomness nobody else does. You're not going to always, Atlanta and the Dodgers, win when you have the best teams. It's matchups, weird injuries, attrition, it's chemistry, it's imperfect. It's a global sport. They didn't play against each other in college. It's players from everywhere and every kind of conceivable injury and prolonged slumps. Barry Bonds doesn't have a World Series title. Barry Bonds, when he was taking those things, those shots in the butt, and he got big and everything was amazing, literally you could not pitch to him. He never won a World Series title. Mike Trout's never won a playoff game. It's okay. It's understood. If an NFL quarterback never won a playoff game, I mean, Lamar Jackson has won a couple. He got to an AFC championship. He still gets criticized. Charles Barkley, Dan Marino, where's the ring? Barry Bonds doesn't have one either. Mike Trout doesn't have a playoff win. If you look at what Bobby Cox did, he won a lot of games for over a decade. And if you look at what Dave Roberts does in a sport with unbelievable, I mean, Walker Buehler was going to be the next Clayton Kershaw. He's been out for a couple years. Like, we're all kind of waiting for him. Now they go find Billy Miller and they've got their players and their prospects. But that's the reality of this sport. It's an imperfect sport. Dave Roberts on the Dodgers' hot start.
There's no let off. I think, like I said before, is, you know, that was sort of one start to the season, the two games in Korea, and then to kind of reset, come back here and, you know, find a way to win a four-game series against the Cardinals and, you know, start this series against the Giants with Webb looming tomorrow. We're off to a good start.
You know, I'll watch the preseason predictions in college basketball, college football, women's college basketball, NFL, NBA, by people like me, pundits, or people that are broadcasters. And we're pretty darn accurate. Go look at predictions for Major League Baseball World Series winners. I can remember working at ESPN and Kirk Gin and Buster Olney, guys that really know what they're doing. Inaccurate. And people come from nowhere. People get hot. Great teams fail. Baseball's got downtime, a lot of time to think. It's just a different sport with a ton of randomness. But this Dodger team, they're built to win it, whether they will or not. So are the Braves. We'll wait and find out.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
So we know there's going to be five quarterbacks probably taken in the first round, right? And we know a couple are going to be busts. Like, we know one of them's going to be a star. That's the average. Two are going to be busts. And like last year, C.J. Stroud, star. Bryce Young looks like doesn't work. There was the draft, Josh Allen, star. Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, didn't work. Lamar, star. So that's the way it is. And you don't want to call out anybody as a dud, but I did think this is interesting. So I'm a West Coast guy. I've watched Andrew Luck and John Elway and Aaron Rodgers and Brady went to high school out here, Jared Goff. There's been a lot of great West Coast quarterbacks. We have pretty Mediterranean weather in Southern California. It's a, you know, passing camps. You watch high school football out here. It looks like college in terms of offensive schemes, very good high school coaching all up and down the West Coast, smart people. So I do think Caleb Williams, Michael Penix and Bo Nix, have a chance to be really good. They've all got a lot of starts, all hyper productive. But I saw this by Chris Sims, and he mentioned this. He said, in fact, let's play this on Chris Sims.
He's clearly number six for me. That's not changing. And the pro day, I would tell you, it probably confirmed it for like 100% that he's really number six. Yes. I did not come away from that pro day going, oh, wow, I feel differently. There's still some eye-popping throws where you go, damn, that's a good one, right? Don't get me wrong there. I got that. But it's still too many throws where I go, what? Number three pick of the draft wouldn't throw a ball like that.
So he's talking about Drake May from North Carolina, who looks like Justin Herbert. Herbert was a much better, more consistent college quarterback. More on that in a second. But that's one of the things I have a problem with Drake May and a little bit J.J. McCarthy. Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, 300-yard game, highly productive. Now, if you have rare, unique physical traits, Josh Allen, 6'6", 250 and fast, Patrick Mahomes, maybe the best pure arm talent in the history of the sport. Kyler Murray, like bizarre elusiveness. If you have otherworldly physical traits that I've never seen before, that can't be duplicated, then I'm willing to pull back on the production. Maybe you had a bad coach. Maybe you're a small college, Wyoming, Josh Allen. Drake May's big, but he's not unique physically. He's 6'4", 220. That's pretty standard. Like, maybe he's a half inch taller than average, about the same weight, 5 or 10 pounds lighter. But he's not consistent. So if you're just the same size, a prototype guy, you got to be productive. I will look past a lot of things. If you're a singer and you just sound like the late Whitney Houston, I'll figure out a way to refine it. You know, if you could do what Prince could do with many instruments, I'll figure out a way to coach it up. You know, Lamar running around. Let's just roll the dice on this. This doesn't look like anything I've ever seen. But if you're physically kind of in line with the league, well, shouldn't you be better in college? So Justin Herbert's his comp. And Justin didn't have a brilliant offensive coach at Oregon. And, you know, Mack Brown runs a pretty pedestrian offensive system at Texas. It was mostly Vince Young making plays. And I sort of look at the numbers. Drake May, last couple years against ranked opponents, Clemson, Oregon, Miami. Okay, it was 1-2. Okay, fine. They didn't have the personnel. But he completed 55% of his throws. That's terrible. Justin Herbert in his career at Oregon, again, not with what we think is, like, you know, Jim Harbaugh, Kirby Smart. Mario Cristobal was fine. winning record, completes 66% of his throws, 24 total touchdowns, 5 picks, and that's his prototype. So say what you want about Justin Herbert. I got consistency, I got completions, I got accuracy. Drake May is not gifted or physically unique. He's big. Herbert's big, but Herbert's not Josh Allen. He doesn't throw the ball like that. He doesn't leap over linebackers. I mean, if you have Stafford's arm talent or Mahomes, maybe I'd look past some stuff. But I do think there's something to be said, like Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Michael Penix. I just got massive production. J.J. McCarthy at Michigan had a lot of 160-yard passing games. That's it with Michigan's talent. And Drake May is a bit all over the map. So it does worry me. I think I see the Herbert stuff. And then you start looking deeper, diving, and going to the consistency. Justin Herbert's last year at Oregon, he was completing 67% of his throws. Well, the Pac-12, what, the ACC's been great? The ACC's been great? I mean, let's be honest. In the last 10 years, the SEC's always great. The Big Ten's been hit and miss. Nobody else has been great consistently. So that's kind of where I am right now. I think we have one great quarterback, Caleb Williams, one great prospect. And then I think we got five guys that will be as good as where they land. I think if any of them end up going to Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, they'll succeed. I think any of other guys go to New England, they bomb. There's just no players. All these guys I think would whiff in New England. Almost all of them would work with Sean Payton or Kevin O'Connell.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, it's The Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered every step of the way with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out. As the NBA postseason winds down, it's fantastic. Super easy to get started with DraftKings. If you're a first-timer, really easy. Try betting on something like a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook's app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple, really. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime. Best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by a smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. They also offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. And stay cool in a short-sleeve, moisture-wicking pearl snap, or make your own shade with one of their classic straw hats. new in both men's and women's styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last for decades. Visit Tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. And don't go gently, y'all.
All right, let's go to Nick Wright joining us now live, co-host First Things First. We were talking about Caitlin Clark, and it is interesting. Like, I'm on the internet last night because I'm sitting there watching women's basketball for like 4 hours. And people are like, Kim Mulkey's coaching. And I'm like, folks, you understand everybody in the league has also been trying to stop LeBron for 20 years and Luka for 6. You can't stop great. They just get shot. Mahomes is the greatest example. Is everybody spends all offseason, we got to stop that guy in Kansas City. This year he had bad receivers. And he wins the Super Bowl. I watch Caitlin Clark, and it's like, I kind of feel like I watch Steph in his prime. It just looks different, and the great ones, and Mahomes is really this. The great ones make it look easy, and you can't figure out why it looks so easy. I watch Mahomes, and I'm like, why does he always see the... I mean, I watch Caitlin, and I'm like, if it was easy to stop her, you'd think LSU could, and they couldn't.
Yeah, so I agree with almost all of that. I also maybe would have thrown a few more double teams at her. I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't know. Haley Van Lith was having a tough night. And it seemed like Flauge might have been able to at least slow her a bit. They didn't go to that until there were 4 minutes left. But here's what is so, to me, remarkable about Caitlin. It doesn't look easy to me, Colin. It's off balance, off the dribble, fading from 26 feet. Here is what I think is one of the coolest things about Caitlin Clark. Over the last decade, we have seen in prep sports, college, and now in the pros, guys who, when they were very young, watched Steph Curry and said, I want to play like him. And none of them have been able to do it. And she has.
Yeah.
She is the first person, male or female, that has taken Steph's game and duplicated it to her skill set. Whether it's the kick-ahead passing, whether it is the great court vision, or the impossible range. When they showed that stat last night that her average three-pointer this tournament or this season is from 26-plus feet, and then you saw it yesterday, I mean, it's incomprehensible. And so I understand that everything is a GOAT debate in some way, shape, or form. And when you look at her resume compared to Taurasi or Breanna Stewart or Cheryl Miller or Shamiqua Holtzclaw, those people, they all have multiple national titles. And I don't think Caitlin's going to get one because I think South Carolina is better. People are going to say, so how can she be the best? But the answer is, aside from Cheryl Miller, who obviously was pre-WNBA, what all of those other women had in common was multiple, in Deanna Taurasi's case, 8 teammates that were WNBA players. Breanna Stewart, a half dozen teammates that were WNBA players. Caitlin Clark is a one-woman show on an undermanned team. Yeah. Everyone knows.
Yeah.
If she doesn't get 35, we win. And she just keeps getting 35. It is really special to watch. And it doesn't matter that it's women's basketball. People love stars and great athletic events. And that crosses any gender lines there was. That was one of my most favorite nights of basketball all year, men's or women's, professional or college.
Yeah. I was saying, in my lifetime, the three biggest stars, and again, this shows my age, Ali, polarizing, good-looking, kind of lyrical, right? Michael Jordan, great and cool. Michael was the earring, the dress, the cool, the swagger. And then Tiger Woods. Now, LeBron's big. Tiger made me watch golf. I changed my weekend for Tiger Woods. Now, there have been a lot of other, you know, LeBrons, Mahomes, Bradys, but I always watch the NFL. They're not driving me to a TV. I'm watching the NFL. But for me, it's Ali, Jordan, and Tiger. We're different ages. If I said to you, three people that literally uniquely got you to a TV.
So Tiger is first top on my list as well. So Tiger, one of my earliest sports memories is being a little kid visiting my now past grandfather in Florida and him saying, you've got to watch this with me. This kid is about to do something no one's ever done, which is win either his second or third straight U.S. amateur. And we turned it on and it was Tiger. And honestly, from that moment to when he won his last Masters, the one post-scandal, the one a few years ago, when I got my daughter to watch Sunday with me because I was so captivated, he held my attention and my fandom the way almost no athlete ever has. Right now I got goosebumps talking about it. Like the Tiger phenomenon is unlike anything of my lifetime across any sport. And so Ali was obviously before me. I was thinking of someone who would have checked the box, Colin, for, you know, your parents, might have been Mickey Mantle, who checked a lot of those same boxes, even if he wasn't necessarily the greatest baseball player ever, the star power and the charisma and those types of things. But in, you know, in the last 25 years, I think it would be Tiger, Shaquille O'Neal, in a unique way, from tearing down backboards to the movies to all of that. And I'm trying to think who the third would be. I don't want to be, but like, I don't think it's an NFL guy, because as great as Brady or Mahomes are, it's a, such a team sport, and it's the, you're kind of just watching the league as a whole. I'm not sure who the third would be. What I do know as far as elevating an individual sport, Caitlin and her cohorts, by the way, the women at LSU, Juju, who I think might end up being the best of all of them.
Yeah.
Paige at UConn, who was on pace to be the best, got hurt, and now might win the whole thing. We have a moment right now where you have this star influx to professional women's basketball that could change the sporting landscape, not to the same degree Tiger changed golf, but to where a sport or a league that was very niche in the WNBA matters, because we now know more of the upcoming first-round WNBA draft pick names than we know the NBA draft pick names for the upcoming draft.
So you're going to be probably better at this than me. It's generational. So Sean Payton, and I don't like cliched coaches, so I love Sean Payton. He's authentic. He'll criticize a player. Sure. Most coaches won't. It's why I love him. He was one of my best guests. I mean, you, him, Klatt are some of the best guests I've ever had, right? And so he
Take
said
that,
again.
There, yeah.
So he said over the course of a couple days, he criticized Russell again on holding the ball, which the data is very clear. Smaller quarterbacks get sacked a lot. Baker, Kyler, Russell, it's just a fact. Josh Allen, last year, least sack quarterback. He can see down the field. That's why I like Penix. Caleb, they move or they can see down the field. Small quarterbacks can be problematic, not just with injuries, but seeing. But it's interesting is, I mean, between Payton, the Seahawks, and teammates, I don't ever remember a really good player in pro sports getting publicly criticized like Russell. There's nothing like it. There's no comp. What do you make of it? Is it jealousy? It's what do you make of it? Again, Sean Payton came out with an opinion.
So I just got, by the way, at the beginning of that question to me, the audio went out entirely, but I got it at the end in time. So I think I can answer the question. So here's what I take. I believe, and I was saying this last year, and I think, and I'm not a guy, I'm not going to act like Colin, I can grind the all 22 the way Cosell can on your show and, you know, and break down stuff. But I think I have a discerning football eye. And I watched every single Broncos game last year. And I said on this show and on my show and anyone that would listen that I thought Russell Wilson was playing a selfish brand of quarterback. And that sounds like I'm creating a criticism. Like, what does that even mean? And what I meant by that was, I think Russell Wilson knew he was going to be looking for work this summer and knew he needed to have something to hang his hat on, and determined pretty early on, that's going to be my touchdown interception ratio. That is going to be that you are going to be able to put up the stats and say, look at the passer rating, look at the touchdown interception ratio. He's better. I'm still good. I'm better than you think. And in service of that, Colin, he took some of the worst, most drive-killing, inexplicable sacks I have ever seen. And that is 95 sacks over the last two seasons for Russell Wilson. This past season, there were opportunities to make plays. And instead, he ate the football because he was, I think, trying to protect his numbers. So I think that's what Sean Payton is talking about. I think Sean, because the reason that Russell Wilson got benched when they were still alive for the postseason was, yes, the injury guarantee, I get that. But also because I think Sean Payton was turning on the film every Monday and saying, you've got to be kidding me. There are plays to be made, and if it is not a layup, if it is not an obvious play, you won't make it. Instead, you're killing us with these sacks. And so I think that is the frustration, and I think that's why they're still talking about him in Denver.
All right, you have your mock draft you have put out, and there's a story today that the Patriots are into J.J. McCarthy. I think they want to drive up the price. As that's what I think they want to do.
Oh, yeah, well.
So let's explain
your... my mock draft. They saw what great stuff they got for J.J. McCarthy. Yeah, that's what it was. So we can go through this real quick.
Yeah.
I think the first two are pretty obvious, Colin.
Yeah.
And I like Caleb's going to go number one. And I thought, here's something that I thought was interesting. Washington moving off Sam Howell, I thought was a signal they're going to take Drake May because Howell and Drake May were college teammates and having a, you know, quote, quarterback competition between the guy you drafted number two and the guy he was under in college would be awkward. So I think those two are pretty much locked. If that is the case, then I think the Patriots have there's a strong argument to be made, Colin, that they are not ready yet to draft a quarterback at three with the lack of offensive linemen, offensive weapons. And so you get Minnesota that desperately wants J.J. McCarthy traded already to get a second first-round pick so they can move up. You get pick 11, you get pick 23, and a future pick if you're New England. They take J.J. McCarthy, and then it gets interesting. Arizona takes Marvin Harrison Jr., pretty much a no-brainer. And then there is another connection here, which is Antonio Pierce coached Jaden Daniels at Arizona State. And if you're the Raiders and you say, you know what? He's not going to get past Denver. He's not going to get to us if we stay there at 13. We know your point about Jim Harbaugh, Colin, I think is totally correct. He wants as many picks as possible over these next few years when he has an intense knowledge of the players. He wants offensive linemen and defensive linemen. So they move back. And then I think the next five, I'm most curious your thoughts on the last one I have. The Giants need a receiver. They've needed one. Everyone knows the Titans are going to take Joe Alt. The Falcons being able to take the first defensive player off the board at number eight would be great. The Bears all of a sudden have a great receiving core with DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze. And then there is, to me, what will be, and I want your take on this, the most telling moment of the draft. At number 10, Brock Bowers will be there, as will be probably the second best offensive lineman in the draft. Will the Jets do the responsible thing and say, we just signed a 33-year-old injury-prone left tackle. We have another 33-year-old tackle. Offensive line injuries ruined us last year. We're going to take a tackle so we are insured against injury, so we have a future plan there. Or are they going to do undoubtedly what Aaron would like them to do, which is take the shiny, cool weapon in Brock Bowers? I think the grown-up decision would be to take a tackle, which is why I expect the Jets to do the non-grown-up decision and take the tight end. But that's how I think the first round could play out, assuming those trades are made. Your thoughts on
that? The interesting one for me is I think Matt Eberflus, as a defensive coach, is going to pound the table for a defensive player because they added Keenan Allen, Swift, Gerald Everett, Caleb Williams. Sure. He's going to go, hey, can you do me a solid? Can I get a defensive player? And I do think there's an edge rusher potentially. So I think Chicago is going to try to move down to about 13, 14 and get a defensive player. Because I do think coaches make more than GMs. They pound the table for their guys. By the way, Harbaugh, he wants that tackle at Oregon State, the best run blocking tackle. So
Fuaga.
Harbaugh, he wants to move down. And because it's probably a reach to get that tackle at like 5, 6, but at 10, yep. 11, 12. So I don't disagree with it. I tend to think the Jets, I think Brock Bowers is one of three players that I cannot see busting. And I think the draft generally has, I've been told this by GMs, there'll be two to three players a draft, there's no chance they'll bust. Last year, Bijan Robinson, the running back, Texas. And I had a GM say, yep, he's the cleanest running back drafted since LaDainian Tomlinson. Great kid, doesn't fumble, blocks, catch. There's nothing. There's not a flaw. He doesn't fumble. That was LaDainian Tomlinson. Patrick Willis, the linebacker at Ole Miss, was that. He went 11. There was no chance it wasn't going to work. I think Brock Bowers is going to work. I think Aaron, you know, let's be honest.
Yes, Aaron would want him. Aaron would want him. But your point, if I may, Colin, about the Bears, I think is a really interesting one, which is I totally agree with you that if they are going to go defense, I think they can trade out of nine.
Yes.
I think there are going to be teams that will see Adunze and Bowers and Fuaga on the board and say, we really want to move up. I'll throw a different team at you that I think is drafting at 18. What if Cincinnati does trade T. Higgins? What if they're like, you know what, we can't pay Burrow, Chase, and Higgins? Would Cincinnati then be interested in moving from 18 up to 9 or 10 or up to 9 with the Bears to draft a weapon on a rookie salary scale that works better with their timeline as far as paying Burrow and Chase? If you're the Bears and you're not going to take Adunze at 9 if he's there, I do think moving down makes sense because this draft is so heavy with four quarterbacks projected to go in the top 10, to at least one, probably three offensive linemen projected to go in the top 15, and a guaranteed three receivers that are going to go in the top 15. If you want, you could get the third defensive player in the draft with the 16th pick of the draft. If you want to draft defense in this draft, you're going to be able to get a blue chip guy in mid or late first round. And the Bears don't really have a bunch of late draft capital. And so I could see them trying to trade that ninth pick to have, you know, kind of further supplement the roster.
Buddy, as always, it's great seeing you. Loved your thoughts on all this stuff. Say hi to Brew and Kevin Wilds, and the show is cooking.
And I'll tell Brew he missed the cut for the top three guests. Me, Klatt, and the coach of the Saints. That's the list. And write it in stone. See you later.
All right, see you later.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers. And with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime. Best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by a smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. Visit Tecovas.com, that's Tecovas.com, and don't go gently, y'all.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.